This is Mindcraft, a podcast series in which we aim to destigmatize mental health one podcast at a time. Join us today to learn more about anxiety and speech impairment.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Mindcraft, a podcast series through which we aim to destigmatize mental health one classroom at a time. I'm Akush. With me here is Wanchit, and in today's podcast, we will discuss how teachers can ensure that children with anxiety and speech impairment can feel safe and progress in a classroom. Today, we welcome our guest Maria Popovic, an experienced teacher, methodologist, and educational consultant. She has taught students of various ages from more than 20 different countries and has worked in both the formal and informal educational sectors.
Maria has worked in schools in Ukraine, China, and Thailand and remotely taught students from countries such as India, Finland, Malaysia, and Germany. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's such a pleasure to speak on such an important topic.
Thank you very much. To kick off, we would like to ask you, how did you get involved with the topic of anxiety and speech impairment?
Well, at first it was a personal experience because as a high school student, I started to stutter and it affected my motivation a lot and my academic results. And it was such a struggle that continued on to my university years. And it was actually also the reason why I had to leave university. And then when I started teaching, I just noticed that I have quite a few students with speech impairment or anxiety, and I just had a huge amount of desire to help them out. And I remember when we started a summer camp practice of reflection journals, we identified that quite a lot of students are struggling with anxiety because when they started reflecting on their summer camp experience, it started as a very fun one, but then they were mentioning how anxious they are about public speaking and other things and pressure from teachers and peers. So I guess that's how.
So where do you think anxiety and speech impairment stems from specifically in the classroom? What do you think are some of the drivers of speech impairment and anxiety in the classroom?
I believe that it's a mixture of intrinsic and extrinsic factors and, of course, pressure to succeed. And it's a combination of the pressure at home from the parents. As we know, a lot of parents have pretty high standards for their kids, which is okay, but it all depends on how they discuss those standards and how they react to failure that kids, of course, we'll have in a school setting. And of course, teachers are also sometimes not helping with this because they have high expectations. And I think the factor of peer pressure is a very big one. And of course, nowadays, when every student is on social media, we cannot deny that that is one of the big factors of anxiety. And of course, we have some other extrinsic factors like changes in the society and crisis. And if we're talking about teenage students, they're going through a lot. They're changing their mindset and body and everything. And of course, learning and success in the classroom, it's not the first thing on their mind. So there is a lot of fear and anxiety that is related to that.
Thank you very much. When you talked about your experiences, it came to my mind to ask, is there anything you think that professors could have done differently or can do differently nowadays to make you or other students more comfortable in the classroom?
I think it depends. Of course, they can do a lot, but it depends on each individual case, what exactly they can do. And I think the first step is just to talk to the child and make the learning experience about them. And basically start with asking a simple question, what is wrong and what can I do to help you? Because from my experience, this is something that my teachers, for example, didn't do. So if a child or an adult has a speech impairment, and usually people have it for many years, and those people know what exactly can help them. For example, some students find it very helpful when they cannot produce a certain sound, when the teacher would say a word and then the student would say after the teacher with the teacher. Some find it humiliating and it's not working for them. So I guess the first thing is to figure out what exactly works for your specific student and ask them what teachers can do to help. And I think that another important thing for students with anxiety is provide them with a variety of ways to participate in the classroom. For example, if you have an oral presentation and based on research, people fear public speaking more than death. So based on that, I think that giving the students the opportunity to also maybe write an essay or record a video or audio with a presentation, it would be a great alternative for people who are really scared of speaking in public. And they will definitely do better when they participate in different ways. And of course, if also you know that there are certain groups of friends in the classroom, you can have them work together and support each other. So the group work always works for those kids. But again, it all comes from each individual case, and there is no one ultimate solution, I believe, for all of those cases.
Hearing you speak about the problems in the classroom that lead to anxiety and even the solutions that you suggested individually based on each student's problems reminded me of one of my students while I was volunteering who faced a speech impairment when she spoke publicly, but not in at home or not with her friends, but only during public speaking in the classroom or in large groups. She mentioned after a few classes to me that this would only happen in the classroom and under more stressful environments. And I think it's because of some of the issues that you've highlighted throughout our discussion. However, after the pandemic and during the pandemic, we had quite a few video calls and chatting, and during which I tried to coach her through the process and tried to reduce her anxiety in public speaking and about how people are going to perceive her and different factors that were leading to her being more anxious. And after that, she could speak very freely and very well in public. And even though English was her second language, and she had only learned the language for a few years, she was one of the best performers in one of our classroom discussions. So I think like the coaching was helpful in this case, and also the fact that I could provide her with positive reinforcement and personal examples. But I imagine that teachers do not have as much time for each student that they have. So what do you think are some of the ways in which teachers, with their huge workloads, with their difficult scenarios within difficult situations and with so many students, can help them?
Well, first of all, it's a great thing that you did exactly what I was mentioning before, is that you found that approach to her and you asked her what you can do to help, and you supported her and coached her. And of course, it's a great thing to do. And as you've mentioned, she did better than the other students just because she was in the environment that is comfortable for her. But yeah, it's true. I think that most of teachers in public schools, they have about 30 kids in the class. So I don't think it's possible for them to find time to individually mentor and coach each of them. I think that the group coaching and mentoring would be a good solution if you have a group of kids with similar problem. And even kids who don't have a lot of anxiety, they usually still need support on speaking in public because it's a scary thing for almost everybody. And I believe that this is the way that you can support such students, by grouping them and then having them support each other and also supporting them. And another thing, of course, if the school has a specialist like a counselor, psychologist, maybe the teachers could get some help from them because they usually know some exercises, how to relax, how to prepare for yourself for such stressful activity. But I think the question that a lot of teachers are still looking the answer to is, should we actually force those kids to participate, to let them step out of the comfort zone and actually push them to do better in terms of public speaking, or should we adhere to their individual needs and just make up the ways for them to participate without speaking in public so they feel less anxiety. And personally, I haven't found the answer to that one. So I think, again, it comes to each individual case.
Based on a questionnaire that we did with some students from Portugal, you mentioned that counselors are usually a helpful way to approach, but in Portuguese schools, they tend to just focus on career advice and not much about the mental health issues that the children might face. What do you think in that case can a teacher do, or what can we do in that situation if there is not a professional to turn to?
Well, it's sad to hear that not all the teachers have someone to approach. And I'm aware that it's the situation in a lot of countries, but there are a lot of things that the teachers can do. Even starting the preschool and primary school, teachers could teach the students some meditation, breathing exercise, different techniques on how to not stress. And if you are stressing, then how to approach that, recognizing your emotions, even playing music through activities that are stressful for the students. I remember when I was teaching the IELTS writing, which was very stressful for my students, I used to play music during the writing activities. So I believe it helped. And there are just multiple ways to deal with it in the classroom based on the specific problem that your students are experiencing. And for me, for example, when I used to have a problem with the stutter, I read a book, which unfortunately I don't remember which book was that, but it was mentioned that the people who stutter, they do not do that when they speak to little kids like babies and pets, because they don't feel threatened by them, I believe. So I started doing that. And that is why my first teaching setting was the preschool group of kids. And it was way easier for me to start teaching them than if I would work with adults or high school students. So I think that even bringing pets to the classroom and having students talk to them, or just having students, older students who have the stuttering problem, to go and teach something to the younger students or just talk to them, is definitely going to help if they're having certain speech impairment issues. And in terms of anxiety, everything that we as adults do to deal with anxiety, like music, meditation, relaxation techniques, I think the kids will benefit from this as well.
When you mentioned that it's good to talk to pets or smaller children when we are older, I remembered I played in the theater while I was younger, and we had a lot of exercises to make our public speaking better, since we want to perform on stage. So my question would be, If the resources that we had in terms of time or like exercises are not given by the teacher, how do you think like students can, what can they do to, beside relaxation, and how can we prepare ourselves to speak?
So I believe what you're asking is, if you're a student, what can you do if your teacher is not helpful, if nobody is helpful, which is an awful situation, of course. I think that one thing that helped me when I was a stuttering student is remembering why I'm at school, because I started to stutter when I was in high school. So I already had certain goals. And I think that my main motivation to succeed and to keep working in the classroom was that I had a certain goal, and I knew that I need good grades. I knew that I wanted to learn certain subjects. So if my teachers are not supportive, it's their problem, not mine. But I think that to do that, you need to have quite a specific mindset. And for me, it was not a problem because I just loved school. I've always loved studying. But I know that for a lot of students, this is not the case. So I think that friendships help a lot. And if you have friends at school, you can just ask them basically exactly the same things that you would ask from the teacher for certain support, certain help. And if you are struggling with approaching the teacher by yourself, you can ask a friend to help. Or for example, if your teacher is extremely strict and you know that there is always that student in the classroom that the teacher kind of likes more than everyone else, you can ask that student to help to approach the teacher together and talk about peer support and grouping and how you're struggling and how you need help. And I know from my experience that even the strictest teachers and teachers who are not very motivated to go an extra mile for the student, they still enjoy when students approach them, because basically it means that you as a student recognize the authority of the teacher. And I think that that's something that might help. That's what I did. It was okay. It was helpful for me.
Thank you so much. So you mentioned some of the goals that students might have and how they can use them to align themselves and use them to guide themselves through the whole process of schooling as well as other parts of their life, which I think is quite useful. But in this modern day and age, students have so many things that they need to do or that they should do, and they have so many goals that they need to achieve at a certain different age groups. How do you think students should reprioritize their goals such that their mental health and physical health are not put in the backseat?
It's a great question. Thank you. And I think that physical health and mental health, that should be number one goal for all the students. But unfortunately, it might sound harsh, but there are only two things that we can do. We can either change the situation or change how we feel about the situation. So if you as a student cannot come to your parents or to your teachers and share with them that you have too much pressure, you're struggling, you maybe would like to quit certain extra classes that you're attending, or maybe you want to transfer to another class or another school. And if your parents are willing to do that for you, I think that would be great. And I've changed 5 schools. And not all of those changes happened because I was willing to change them. But my the last time I've changed the school was because I asked my mom to do that. And I knew that it was great for my personal goals and that I wasn't very happy with the quality of teaching in my high school. So I've changed. And that's one thing that you can do, which is obvious, which is directly address your struggles with your parents, with your teachers. But if they're not responsive, which unfortunately happens quite often, then you need to work on yourself to make sure that your mental health is not struggling here. So you will need to rearrange your goals. You will need to make sure that you find the balance. And unfortunately, this is a huge responsibility, and the child should not be responsible for that by themselves. But if nobody is supporting and you cannot find a mentor, you can, of course, again, talk to your friends and rely on them. But the thing that you can do is just try to change how you view what's happening to you. And it's better if you have support.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Do you think that these factors caused anxiety in the first place, or anxiety leading to that you cannot find help? Is which one is more in your point of view, which one is more frequent, or the causation, which side is it, anxiety first or all the other factors first?
I believe that the other factors come first, because if you're growing up in the safe environment and you know that the parents have your back and you have friends and you're loved and supported, then there are not many reasons for you to have anxiety. Of course, it might come from social media or still some pressure. We all face it. But I believe that if you know that you can trust adults that are around you, you just feel safer. But of course, there might be certain reasons why you might have anxiety in the first place, like certain symptoms like ADHD, for example. So your struggle with learning because of ADHD or dyslexia or some other learning disabilities and difficulties, yes, that might cause anxiety. But again, to solve this, the best solution would be approach the parent, the teacher, and find a professional who might help you.
I would like to extend this question and ask you about students who might not come from a background where support is provided, let alone be a given. In these situations, students often have to go through school and put themselves through any situation that comes up and jump on every opportunity that they get, because first of all, these are limited. And secondly, these are their only ways out of the cycle of poverty, for example, or the cycle of not having access to good education and good healthcare. In these situations, how do you think the students, what are some of your strategies that teachers, volunteers, and students should employ in order to balance these things? So balance their mental health and balance their goals, which are more important than, I would say, goals for other students.
I think that, again, it comes back to setting goals that are clear, setting SMART goals, teaching your student how to set goals. And it's very relevant to my experience teaching in China, because the level of struggle in terms of finding a job, getting to university, and competition is sometimes too much. And I had students who were already so tired at the age of 12 from all the extra classes that it was very, very hard to inspire them or to do any creative work with them, which is very sad. But I think that here the teachers might need to talk to the parents first, because not every activity that the parents are enforcing onto the child are going to lead to success. And I think it's important to choose, because I know that from my experience, a lot of my students, they play music instrument, but their parents don't want them to become professional musicians because they don't believe that this is the job that will bring you a lot of money, which is sadly sometimes true, most of the times, I would say. But then why would they force their kids to do that? Because I spoke with my students about it, and not all of them are actually enjoying going playing cello, because it's not a very practical instrument to play in the modern music world and so on. So I think, again, it comes to the conversation with the parents. And we should not expect a lot of initiative, a lot of like fighting back here from children, because of course they do not want to disappoint their parents. Of course they want to fit in the society. And if you come from a country where you need to work extra hard to get somewhere, then I think it's a struggle. It's a challenge for both the parent and the student and the teacher to find that balance, because some of the students, yes, they will need those extra classes and that extra workload, unfortunately. So I think everything comes back to conversation between the student, the teacher, and the parent. Because we know the stories that are happening the other way around, when we have students from very wealthy and privileged families and countries who don't want to work, who don't want to go an extra mile, and the parents are struggling to push them and motivate them. So it all comes back to just a conversation between all three sides of this learning experience triangle.
Thank you so much for your answer. Continuing on the conversation and dialogue between students, teachers, and parents, I would like to bring up this question because it's quite common back home in India and in Asian cultures in general. And I also think in many cultures around the world, that talking about mental health and anxiety is a taboo topic that parents don't want to discuss or the society frowns upon. In this case, how do you think the teachers or the students should start discussions with their parents, with the society in general?
I think that for cultures like that, it would be nice not to bring mental health up as the individual case in the classroom, but more like a general broad conversation. For example, mentioning that some of the famous people struggled with anxiety or depression or any other form of mental health issues, and then basically send a message to the student that it's okay and it doesn't stop you from being great, from success. So I think it depends on the subject that you teach. If you're a literature teacher, it can be very easy because you find a few texts where the character is struggling, but then they succeed and they are rewarded at the end of the story. But you mentioned India. I remember this Indian film called like Stars on Earth, which is very inspirational, and it demonstrates how the teacher does not only change the mindset of the student, but also of his teachers, his parents, and the entire school. And I think that's a great example of how he starts with mentioning that Albert Einstein also had dyslexia, but it didn't stop him from being Albert Einstein. So it's a broad conversation that you can start in the classroom just to try to remove that stigma from the mental health topic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It's a really interesting topic, but there is one thing that popped into my mind, talking about speech impairment and public speaking and the anxiety. There is this tip or advice that people usually share that if you are afraid of talking in public, you should imagine your audience naked. Does that help? Is it true? Is it okay to imagine that?
I don't think it helps, honestly. And I believe that it also sends quite an unhealthy message that naked people are somehow humiliated and funny. So I think the idea behind it is that you have to imagine that everybody else is even in a more uncomfortable situation than you are. But I don't like this whole connection between discomfort and being naked. I don't know. It's, for me, it always sounded weird. I heard a lot about it. But what helped me when I started speaking at the events while still having a stutter, I think, is just bringing it up and actually making fun of it. So I remember when my stutter was almost gone, but I still used to stutter when I say my name, which is very uncomfortable. I used to start my speech with a joke that, oh, I can't even say my name properly. So I'm sorry for you guys. You came to listen to me, but I can't even say my name. So saying something like that. So I think it's important not to take yourself so seriously, and develop the growth mindset, which basically means loving failure. And every time you fail at a public speaking or something else, just think about what you've learned from that experience and how it can be turned into some funny story.
Thank you so much for that advice. So I think we are approaching the end of our conversation. So what are some of the main things that you would want people listening to the podcast to take away?
I think the main thing for me would be just acknowledging that anxiety is the issue that absolutely everybody has. It's not necessarily a negative thing, because if you remember when you were waking up early in the morning when you were a kid and you were so anxious about something great that will happen that day, that's also anxiety, but it's a nice, a positive feeling. So I think that first takeaway would be anxiety is something that everybody goes through, and it's okay, and it's actually not something that cannot be dealt with. And there are a lot of techniques that you as a student, or you as a teacher, as a parent, as an individual can implement to help yourself and the others. And if you're a person who's struggling with a speech impairment, try to research, try to experiment and find techniques and find your own personal ways on how to make life easier for yourself. Try to talk to your pet, try to talk to yourself in front of the mirror. I know that it helps some people when they sing a sentence instead of just saying it normally. Just try different things. And if you know someone who is struggling with that, and it's your student, for example, then you might also suggest certain techniques to them and ask them what helps them specifically. And always make it individualized for your students, because there is no one size that fits all in the classroom.
Thank you so much, Maria. This was an amazing conversation, and I hope that our listeners took away all of your knowledge and wisdom from this podcast.
Yes, thank you very much for coming to us today. In this episode, we discussed what factors influence anxiety and what teachers and students can do about that. We touched on the issue of speech impairment and public speaking and their relationship to anxiety. We also talked about how the stigma around mental health and Albert Einstein are related. In addition, by listening to this episode, you could learn whether imagining the audience naked is actually helpful while talking publicly. We would like to thank the support to Casa do Impacto in Lisbon. This project was assisted by Forward College.